Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Welcome back. Good to see you all. So we are going to continue in our Unveiling Bible Prophecy series. Today, we're going to be talking about prophets. We're going to look at true prophets, false prophets. We're going to see what the Bible says about them. And, you know, it's really good to know, being that there's so much interest in this particular topic today. This afternoon, we're going to look at a topic called a new creature. So we're going to look into baptism, what it means, what it's all about. Is it necessary for people to be baptized? On Monday, is there a better way? We're going to look at God's health plan in the Bible laid out for us. And Tuesday night, following the leader. So before we go any further, let's have our word of prayer and we will continue. Eternal loving Father in heaven, I thank you again for blessing us, for bringing us all here. I thank you for your Sabbath day. I thank you for your word and your truth. I ask that you please guide us now with the Holy Spirit. Please guide me and use me as your mouthpiece. I ask that your will may be done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there's an explosion of interest in psychic phenomena today. And this is not something that is old. It's been going on for years. You know, people are always interested what the future has in store for them. They want to know what's going on before it happens, so they start turning to these so-called psychics. We look in newspapers, tabloids, all these different areas, looking for what the future has in store. There's a book that went out called A Gift of Prophecy. There was a prophet by the name of Gene Dixon that sold over 1 million copies. So people are interested in these things. Another one, Edgar Cayce, called The Sleeping Prophet. You know, you have people who just, you know, claim to be prophets or psychics, that they can speak to the dead, that God speaks directly to them, giving them messages about the future. You have psychic hotlines. Just call in, pay us a certain amount of money, and we'll tell you your future. People look at their zodiac signs. You know, what does the newspaper have to say today about my zodiac sign? But Jesus warns us about the counterfeits. In Matthew 24, verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 11, And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And verse 24, For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So, Satan's counterfeits are going to be so close to the true that if you are not steady and firm in your faith with God and know the scriptures, you will be deceived, is what Christ is telling us. He's telling us the closer we get to the end of time, the more we're going to see these things occurring, and we have to be on guard. So Matthew 24:4, signs and wonders, they shall deceive. So they're going to use these tactics to deceive people. Powers, signs, and lying wonders, great wonders, deceives by the means of those miracles, wrought miracles, which he deceives. So over and over again, a constant theme of people being deceived by miracles, or signs, or wonders. So Satan uses these things to try and prove that his false prophets are actually from God. So are miracles definite evidence of a true prophet? Revelation 16:14 tells us, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." So what is the Bible telling us here? Devils can work miracles too. And spirits can cause wonders. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, Bible tells us in Revelation 16, devils can work miracles. Jesus is telling us in Matthew 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, or not everyone who claims to be a Christian or a follower of God is really a follower of God. And he goes on to say, not everyone who, they will say that we have prophesied in your name. But then Jesus says, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. So just because somebody claims to be a follower of Christ does not mean that they really are. So to whom does the Lord reveal his final plans? Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. If you look throughout the Bible, whenever God had a message to give to his people, he would speak through a prophet. So he would deliver a message to a specific individual to give to either an individual or a group of people. Are there modern prophets today? So will God's end time church have the gift of prophecy? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So what were these gifts? Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So how long would these gifts remain in the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So essentially, the whole purpose for these gifts is to edify or to teach and unite God's people. Not to uplift oneself, not so that we know what we're going to be in 10 years or if we're going to win the lottery. That's not the purpose of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 1:6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which is God's last day church, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As we have come through this series, we have seen that whenever God has something, Satan always tries to counterfeit it. We see that God has a true church, Satan has a counterfeit church. God has a true Sabbath, Satan has a counterfeit Sabbath. So, if God has a true prophet, what is Satan going to have? A false prophet. Satan's object is always to attack God's church or his people. As we said before, as an eternal principle, you do not go to the church to find the truth. You go to the Bible to find the truth. When you find the truth, you look for a church that teaches the truth. So many churches today, you need to go to the Bible to find out who's teaching what's in the Bible. So, Revelation tells us that the saints keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. So the two distinguishing characteristics of God's remnant church are it lovingly obeys his commandments and it has the testimony of Jesus. As we went through the list the other night of God's true remnant church, they keep the commandments, they preach the gospel, it's a worldwide church, they preach the judgment hour message, they consider their bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit. They have the testimony of Jesus. They identify the mark of the beast. They teach truth about death, the second coming, and they call people out of Babylon. So, do we have the testimony of Jesus? Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 22:8. And I saw John, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou doest it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So the brethren of John are the prophets, as we just read in Revelation 22:9. The brethren have the spirit of prophecy, as we read in Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, also in Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is in the remnant church, Revelation 12:17. Therefore, God's last day church would have the gift of prophecy as manifested through a prophet. Revelation 12:17, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? So, Jesus promised the gift of prophecy would be revived in the last days. God's last day church would keep his commandments and have the gift of prophecy. So, in Revelation 12:17, it says, War with the remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, the gift of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Okay? Jeremiah 26:4. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. So, what God was saying in Jeremiah's day is that I'm sending you prophets, and you're not listening to them. So God had a message in Jeremiah's day that he was using Jeremiah to deliver, but they were not listening. And what happened? Because of their disobedience and because they did not heed the message, they were led into captivity. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, if people are being led into apostasy by some bad leaders, and there's no one to warn them, what does it say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. So God would constantly try to send a messenger to warn the people, to bring them out of that and to go back to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So how can we tell the difference between the true and the false? A quick little example. For people who look for counterfeit money, they study true money, every detail about it. So when the counterfeit comes across, they spot it right away because they know the true. So, biblical test of a true prophet. Prophetic accuracy. Jeremiah 20:89. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So, if a prophet says something is going to happen, and it happens, that's one of the signs that they are a true prophet. If they say something is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, obviously they are not a true prophet. Pretty simple. There have been numerous predictions about the second coming of Christ, people setting dates and times, and them not coming to pass. Here in this magazine, it says the second coming in 1998. Well, they're a little late. But, you know, you see this time and time again. You had the Mayan calendar prophecy saying that the world was going to end in 2012. Well, we're still here. False prophecy. Then you had Harold Camping a few years ago. Prophesied that the world is going to come to an end May 21st, 2011. People were selling everything, donating it to his ministry because they believed what he was saying. This was going on as I first came into the church, but I knew what the Bible said. No man knows the day or the hour. What was interesting is that I heard this guy on the radio whenever somebody would try and call in, probably Adventist, and try and tell him, you know, what the Bible said, he would hang up on them. Because he didn't want to hear it. But I thought that was very interesting how the Bible clearly states nobody knows the day or the hour, and here this man is predicting God's coming May 21st. 2011. And people sold their houses, gave up their savings to support this man in his ministry. When it didn't come to pass and he was found out to be a false prophet, they were left with nothing. The other problem with this guy is that this wasn't the first time he predicted Christ coming. He was wrong a couple times before that. You would think people would catch on after a while. But people are so eager to know what the truth is, or not the truth, but know what's going to happen, that they're going to look wherever. Out of 250 specific publicized predictions, we found less than 3% or 6 that we could list as reasonably fulfilled, and 97% that missed the mark completely. Another magazine, The World Will End, 11/9/2006. They were wrong there. So, what's another test of being a true prophet? Biblical faithfulness. This is a huge one. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. Just on this one verse alone, we could disqualify a numerous amount of prophets or people claiming to be prophets. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 and everything in between, if they speak against it, you know they are not a true prophet from God. God is not going to use somebody as his messenger who doesn't believe in his word, who does not support his word, and does not submit themselves to him. In Time magazine, it says the search for Mary. So people are claiming to see Mary. So is she appearing now? Well, this woman, Annie Kirkwood, claims to have seen Mary. She wrote a book. And these were some of the things that she said that Mary was telling her. Tell others that there is no devil. Heaven and hell are simply mental states. In one lifetime, Joseph was a monk in Spain. We have all lived many lives. The real message, how to prepare ourselves for our re-entry into the spirit world after physical death. Does the Bible teach any of those things? No. I mean, just that first line up there, it says, tell others that there's no devil. I mean, that off the bat would, you know, throw some red flags. And of course, you know, if God's not behind it, who is? Satan. So of course Satan is going to try and tell people, oh, don't worry about the devil, he doesn't exist. The prophet would exalt Jesus and God. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So there are people claiming to be prophets of God that do not claim that Jesus ever existed or that he came to die for our sins. So, you know, time and time again, you have these prophets coming up claiming to be true prophets, and, you know, their prophecies not coming to pass, proving their falsehood. Here you had some predictions through the year 2000. Just some of them. A machine lets you talk to the loved ones in heaven. Doctors find cure for cancer. Brain chips turn people into geniuses, and much, much more. I'm sure they have much, much more to say, but, you know, just by those couple things, we know none of those have come to pass. It's 2015 now. Those were predicted by 2000 to happen, and there's still cancer that has not been cured. There's certainly no brain chip that makes people geniuses. And there's no machine that lets you talk to loved ones in heaven. People look to Nostradamus, who was another claimed prophet who is not 100% accurate. Prophecies from Fatima, you know, Mary prophesying of things happening. Is the prophet a commandment-keeping person? Another test. Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. So what is it saying here? If there's a prophet that says something and it comes to pass, so their prophecy came true, and then they start telling you, okay, now that you believe I'm a prophet, there's some other things I have to tell you. Let's go serve some other gods over here. Don't worry about the living and true God. You know, there's some other gods that we need to focus on. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So sometimes the Lord just steps back just to see how we're going to react to the situation. He's given us time and time again all of these warnings beforehand. So when they come to pass, it's up to us to make that decision. Are we going to believe in God? Are we going to believe in this new theory or new prophecy? 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So if this prophet is not a commandment keeper, they are a sinner. Or they are continually breaking God's law. Physical tests. Physical criteria of prophets, Numbers 24:4. Prophets experience visions with their eyes open. Their eyes remain open throughout the vision. Daniel 10:8 and 17. In vision, prophets have no physical strength. Daniel 10:17. Prophets in vision do not breathe. Spiritual fruitage. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So, as Christ had just warned, beware of sheep in wolves' clothing. I mean, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Excuse me. So Christ is saying there's going to be people among you claiming to be followers, but you need to look at their fruits. Are they keeping the commandments? Are they exalting Christ? Do they believe in the whole Bible? 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. What is the work of a prophet? Involves speaking for God, revealed God's purposes, strengthened and guided leaders, encouraged people to faithfulness, preaching and teaching, bringing others to a knowledge of truth. Does any of that sound like it's a selfish, has any type of selfish acts involved in that? Is it to exalt human beings? No. All it has to do is with leading people to the truth and uplifting God. So not all of God's prophets were Bible writers. You had some who were, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They were all prophets of God. They all had written stuff in the Bible. But there were other prophets of God who were not mentioned, who did not write any books. You had Gad, Micaiah, Nathan, Aaron. Well, that went by too quick. Miriam, Abraham, and the four daughters. I forgot that one. Acts 11:27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So you have prophets throughout all the Bible. Not all of them wrote books in the Bible, but it's just showing an example that God had prophets for different situations, for different times. Luke 7:28, for I say to you, among those born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So, John the Baptist, he was a prophet, but he didn't write any books. Just another example in the New Testament. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors, justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawgivers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So even during Christ's day, when a prophet came, John the Baptist, preaching repentance, coming back to God, the Pharisees and other leaders rejected the prophet and the message that he was giving. Revelation 12:17, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Testimony of Jesus Christ, spirit of prophecy. So at the end of the 1260-year prophecy, 1798, Revelation predicted the rise of God's last day movement. In 1844, a group who believed the second advent of Christ was to occur that year were deeply disappointed when he didn't return. So you had the Millerite movement, William Miller preaching that Christ was going to come again because he misunderstood one of the prophecies. He misunderstood the meaning behind the 2300-day prophecy. But through further research, they didn't give up on God because they got disappointed. They kept studying. They realized that they applied it wrong. So the 2300-day prophecy started the judgment. It wasn't Christ's second coming. So what would God do for this group of people who were longing for his coming? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God would not leave his people in the dark. They were searching for truth, and they're going to find it. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So this is a prophecy that there's going to be prophets in the end times, men and women. Has God blessed the Seventh-day Adventist Church with the gift of prophecy? Faithful to his word, God raised up the gift of prophecy to guide his disappointed people and led them into a worldwide movement to proclaim the gospel. And he did that very thing. There's a woman called Ellen White that he used in the 1800s, early 1900s, as a prophet or messenger for him to his people. Numbers 12:6 says, "Then he said, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant?'" So God is saying, when I'm speaking to the prophet, I'm speaking to them face to face. I may speak to them in visions and in dreams, but I also speak to them face to face. So, did Ellen White have visions? She received more than 2,000 prophetic visions and dreams. She wrote over 50 books and lectured to thousands on three different continents. And this was back in the 1800s when it wasn't easy to get around. This remarkable woman, though almost entirely self-educated, has written and published more books in more languages, which circulate to the greater extent than any other woman in history. That's from George Wharton James, page 319. So, can we apply these prophetic tests to Ellen White? Prophetic accuracy. In Testimonies to the Church, volume 9, page 11. "On one occasion, when in New York City, I was in the night season, called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify the owners and builders. Higher and still higher these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, 'How can we best glorify God?' The Lord was not in their thoughts. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, 'They are perfectly safe.' But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines." We had the tragedy in September 11th, 2001, where the Twin Towers were struck with two different planes. And if you saw the images, these buildings that were made of metal burnt up like Ellen White had prophesied, as if they were just made of pitch. You would not think that these buildings were made of metal the way that they crumbled. She also said in Ministry of Healing, page 327, "Tobacco is a slow, insidious, but most malignant poison. Back in her day, you had doctors prescribing people to smoke to cure asthma and other such things. But she said, during those days, tobacco is a poison." Even during pregnancy, She said that it was not good for women to smoke during pregnancy because it would harm the fetus. Things that we know now to be true. Yeah. So also, she gave us counsels on how we eat. Going back to the prophet Gene Dixon, John Allen Poulos, a mathematician at Temple University, coined the term the Gene-Dixon effect, which references a tendency to promote a few correct predictions while ignoring a larger number of incorrect predictions. So this woman who claimed to be a prophet was only correct part of the time. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was listening to a prophet, I would expect them to be 100% correct, not just 20% correct. I mean, that's, you know, it's not good to put your confidence in somebody who's only going to tell you the correct answer part of the time. But a lot of people just look at the few predictions that she did make that came true and ignored the many others that she did not prophesy to be true. Biblical faithfulness. Was Ellen White faithful to the Bible? She wrote in the book Great Controversy, "The Holy Scriptures are to be accepted as an authoritative, infallible revelation of His will. They are the standard of character, the revealer of doctrines, and the test of experience." This is what she said about the Scriptures. "God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible and the Bible only as the standard of all doctrines, as the basis of all reforms." Also in the Great Controversy, page 595. Joseph Smith claimed his information was superior to the Bible. The prophet in the Mormon religion, he claims that his prophecies are above the Holy Scriptures. Edgar Cayce. "The reality is that his cures were heresy and his treatments were folk remedies that were useless at best and dangerous at worst. Cayce wasn't able to cure his own cousin or his own son who died as a baby. Many of Cayce's readings took place after the patient had already died." So what is that? Spiritualism? We already went through what the Bible says about the state of the dead. The dead know not anything. So if he's doing readings of people who are already dead, who is he really talking to? Satan and his demons. That was from Language, Myths, Mysteries, and Magic, page 103. Edgar Cayce was also influenced by this woman. Her name, Helena Blavatsky. This is one of her quotes. "One of the most hidden secrets involves the so-called fall of angels. Satan and his rebellious host that thus proved to have become the direct saviors and creators of divine man. Thus Satan, once he ceases to be viewed in the superstitious spirit of the church, grows into the grandiose image. It is Satan who is the god of our planet and the only god. Satan or Lucifer represents the centrifugal energy of the universe. This ever-living symbol of self-sacrifice for the intellectual independence of humanity." So you have Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, being influenced by this woman who claims that Satan is the creator of this earth. This woman was channeled by demons to write many heresies against God, and she just uplifts Satan and spiritualism. She's one of the leaders of the occult movement. Nothing to do with God. Romans 6:16. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness?" We need to be careful who we are following. So do we go by the Bible or we go by tradition? Catholic record, the church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that. Catholic records, September 1st, 1923. Catholic Catechism says, "Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday." So what does the Roman Catholic Church claim is the sign of its authority? Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and authority in religious matters. The Great Controversy, written by Ellen White, page 204-5. In our time, there is a wide departure from the doctrines and precepts, and there is need of a return to the great Protestant principle, the Bible and the Bible only, as the rule of faith and duty. Does Ellen White exalt Jesus? Gospel Workers, page 160. Lift up Jesus. You that teach the people, lift up in sermon, in song, in prayer. Let all your powers be directed in pointing souls confused, bewildered, lost to the Lamb of God. These were just some of the books she wrote. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, Steps to Christ, Christ's Object Lessons, The Desire of Ages. Do any of those titles say, follow Ellen White, follow some other person? No, she's pointing people back to Jesus. An official at the Library of Congress says, my preference or choice would be guided by what I wish to get from the book or books to be read. But let me put it this way. I would put The Desire of Ages by Ellen G. White first for spiritual discernment and practical application. Commandment keeping. If you read Ellen White's books, she's always pointing people back to keeping the commandments of God, staying loyal to Him, uplifting His word, and the things that God has done for us, never tearing Him down or tearing down the commandments. Physical tests. You see this large Bible in my friend's hand here? This Bible weighed, I think it was 18 pounds. During one of her visions, she held this Bible straight out, this little woman. I don't remember how long it was. But you can see here these two men trying to test it out. Now, you'd have to be pretty strong to hold out a Bible that weighs 18 pounds just for a few minutes. But she did it. I think it was around an hour or maybe more. Spiritual fruitage. So she led people to start health facilities all over. There's one in California, Loma Linda University and Medical Center. You had Jane Ann Andrews, who she would guide through letters, being one of the first missionaries overseas. She was in Australia as well, leading people to Christ, leading the medical front. You remember Dr. Kellogg, Kellogg's Corn Flakes? Well, she would guide him with things as well. St. Helena, California Star Magazine, 1915, July 23rd. Her death marks the calling of another noted leader in religious thought, and whose almost 90 years were full to overflowing with good deeds, kind works, and earnest prayers for all mankind. So she didn't just focus on just individuals. For everybody. Just like the Bible says in Revelation, the gospel goes to every nation, kindred, tribe, and people. New York City Independent, 1915. Here's a notable record, and she deserved great honor. She showed no spiritual pride, and she sought no filthy lucre. She lived the life and did the work of a worthy prophetess. Paul Harvey Broadcast, 1997. Women have been honored on American postage stamps for more than 100 years, starting with one woman who was not an American, Queen Isabella in 1893. Since then, 86 women have been honored, ranging from Martha Washington to Marilyn Monroe. Also many women authors like Louisa May Alcott, Emily Dickinson, but I can name an American woman author who has never been honored thus, though her writings have been translated into 148 languages, more than Marx or Tolstoy, more than Agatha Christie, more than William Shakespeare. Only now is the world coming to appreciate her recommended prescriptions for optimum spiritual and physical health, Ellen White. Ellen White, you don't know her, get to know her. In Gospel Workers, page 160, she says, "Lift up Jesus, you that teach the people. Lift him up in sermon and song and prayer. Let all your powers be directed in pointing souls, confused, bewildered, lost, to the Lamb of God." I've read her books. I have not seen her tear down any of God's words. All she does is uplift them, and whatever the Lord led her to write, I believe she was a true prophet. But I'm not telling you to take my word for it. Read it for yourselves. Don't go searching on the internet what people have to say about her, because there's a lot of critics out there who have never read anything that she ever wrote, but just the fact that she's called a prophet, they want to tear her down. Read it for yourselves and do your own research. So before we close, let's all stand with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you again for everything that you do for us. I thank you for the gift of prophecy. I thank you that you do not leave us in the darkness, but you continue to try and lead us and guide us in any way possible. I ask that you please guide us now, continue to bless us and prepare us for this afternoon. I thank you, and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to come back for the second service, a new creature. Okay, so I'll see you all in a little bit.